This is Stimulus. I'm Tara Cleary. A Facebook friend recently shared a story that caught my eye. The headline reads, "Hurricane season starts with nobody in charge at FEMA or NOAA." The reporter is Craig Pittman at the Tampa Bay Times in Florida.
It went viral, much to my surprise.
I wasn't surprised. It's quite a disconcerting headline, especially as Florida has been hit by more hurricanes than any other U.S. state. FEMA and NOAA are acronyms for long names. The Federal Emergency Management Agency and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. I asked Craig why they're so important when it comes to hurricanes.
NOAA is in charge of the National Weather Service and the National Hurricane Center, which provide us with the forecasts of, you know, where the hurricanes are going and when they're going to hit. And then FEMA, they are the ones that try and help you to prepare for the hurricanes and for other disasters. And after a hurricane is hit, they step in and try and help an area to recover.
The heads of these and other government agencies are political appointees, which means it's up to the president to hire them. Right now, they have acting chiefs. Trump has nominated Brock Long for FEMA, but the Senate must still confirm him.
I was at my son's baseball game and often compare this to that, where you want people on the field playing the right positions, and you can't start the game until you have those people in those positions.
Mallory Barg-Bullman is VP of Research at the Partnership for Public Service, which is a nonpartisan organization in Washington. Their goal is to make sure U.S. government departments are properly staffed and smoothly run, so that they're ready for emergencies like hurricanes or pandemics.
It's a misconception to think the halls of government are empty at this moment in time. You really do have dedicated career civil servants who are making sure that things are running.
So these agencies are still operating fine with acting leaders. It doesn't sound like such a crisis.
The professional people who can run those agencies in the absence of a political boss, they are okay in dealing with the day-to-day situation and you know, with a serious emergency that comes up. But you need the political appointee at the top in order to deal with policy questions, to have a seat at the table at the White House and in Congress when questions arise about the direction of the agency and what it's doing, about budget questions, and in particular when something goes wrong.
That's exactly right. And you also need, you know, somebody who is skilled and able to lead in the face of an emergency. It's not just about getting individuals into these seats, but you want the right individuals in these seats.
Craig Pittman agrees.
You might think that, oh, whoever is at the top of the agency doesn't matter. But I think we saw differently in 2005 when Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans. And the agency was under the supervision of Michael W. Brown, who had zero background in running an emergency management agency, and the people in New Orleans were pretty much out of luck there, famously saluted by then President George W. Bush by saying,
"Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job."
And then Brown was out of a job 10 days later.
Mallory's team and the Washington Post created a database which is tracking Trump's political appointments.
We wanted to make sure to hold the incoming administration accountable for filling those top political positions. There's more than 500 what we call key positions in government. These are positions that require presidential nomination and Senate confirmation. And we wanted to monitor how quickly these positions were filled and who was filling them.
It's looking pretty dismal so far. Trump has the worst record of any president since at least 1989. As of June 20th, of the 558 key political positions, 408 don't even have a nominee.
If you compare presidential appointments sent to the Senate, you know, as of today, Obama had 130, George W. Bush had 60, Bill Clinton had 101, and George H.W. Bush had 94.
Donald Trump has only 43 confirmed.
I think further complicating things is the fact that the Trump administration has required all the ambassadors and all of the U.S. attorneys to resign. And so that sort of gives them an even heavier burden of replacing these folks and trying to do so quickly. I'm trying to avoid using the term amateur hour, but that is the term that comes to mind when you're looking at the appointments that are not being made and the very slow pace of confirmation. I mean, bear in mind that one party controls the White House and both houses of Congress, and yet we've got this tremendous backlog of people who have not been appointed yet.
It is time to drain the swamp in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, it seems Trump's version of that is getting rid of government. Just 3 days after his inauguration, he placed a hiring freeze on all branches of government, except the military and veterans affairs. It was lifted in March, but at the same time, he signed an executive order giving his budget director, Mick Mulvaney, 1 year to find ways to eliminate unnecessary agencies.
Today there is duplication and redundancy everywhere. We will develop a detailed plan to make the federal government work better, reorganizing, consolidating, and eliminating where necessary.
There's that word again, eliminating. And if Trump's budget is approved, these agencies will be gutted. He proposes cutting FEMA's and NOAA's budgets. The Environmental Protection Agency loses 31% of funds. The Department of Energy will be out of pocket by $1.7 billion. And the list goes on.
When we surveyed federal employees about what is the one thing that would help you do your job better, the answer is always tied between two things, of better leaders and a predictable budget process. And so we've seen that just the uncertainty of the budget process is really challenging for federal employees. The president is a businessman, and he knows probably as well as anybody that it's really hard to run an organization when you don't know what you're spending.
I think Trump's aware of that. That's why his budget calls for huge cuts to most government departments.
The proposals were for some pretty draconian cuts, which I'm not sure Congress is going to go along with. I mean, that's sort of where we get to see how much Congress values party unity versus being responsive to what their voters and constituents want.
The Republicans have proven so far that it is party unity at any cost. Even though they control the White House, the House, and the Senate, they're getting nothing done. How long is a United States of headless agencies even sustainable? Until next time, I'm Tara Cleary. This is Stimulus.